Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, your rights and responsibilities when renting with a pet, what to consider when buying a horse, and people foods pets should never eat. Let's start right with this one. No pets allowed? Pets allowed, or at least for me, cats allowed, has always been at the top of my non-negotiable list when selecting the right home for me and my family. In my search, I've found that pets allowed could mean all pets are allowed. Well, some landlords are very specific about which types of pets they will allow. Cats only, small dogs only, certain breeds only. Of course, if you have a guide dog, there are considerations for that too. The Humane Society of the United States provides this guide on their website to finding and remaining in the right rental for you and your pet called Information for Renters with Pets. Resolve landlord issues and find housing for you and your pet. Pets are family, and no one should have to give up a pet because they can't find good housing that welcomes them. Welcome pet-owning residents. The Humane Society of the United States knows how important your pet is to you. They're family. We understand the challenges that can occur when renting with pets. Tragically, housing problems are some of the main reasons that pets are given up to animal shelters. Many landlords are understandably nervous about renting to pet owners. After all, there are people who allow their pets to damage their property, disturb neighbors, and generally give pet-owning renters a bad name. But as it turns out, these tenants are the exception. It is vital for landlords to see that the overwhelming majority of pet owners are respectful of rental property and ensure their pets never become a nuisance. Renters just like you. Use these resources here to show prospective landlords that you and your pet are exactly the kind of renters they want living on their property. And if you've done all you can to be a great pet-owning renter but still encounter problems, this information can help you diffuse conflict with your landlord while keeping your family intact. Please note, when dealing with any landlord-tenant issue, seek professional legal assistance. The materials provided here are for informational purposes only and do not constitute legal advice. Finding rental housing for you and your pets. Finding rental housing that welcomes all pets, regardless of breed or size, can be difficult. You can increase your chance of success with the following tips and ideas. Allow as much time as possible to search. Research animal-friendly listings and realtors using online classified ads. Reach out to friends and family using network sites and social media to uncover connections and opportunities. Look for a community apartment guidebook in supermarkets and visit websites like apartments.com and rent.com for listings. Show off your pet's best qualities. How? Create a resume for your pet that includes a photo, favorite activities, certifications, and even a short adoption story. There's a link in this article on the Humane Society's website to a sample pet resume that might spark ideas. Extras could include a letter of reference from a current or most recent landlord, written proof that your dog has completed a training class, a letter from the vet showing your pet is spayed or neutered and up to date on vaccines. Invite landlords to meet your pet. Be prepared and willing to pay a reasonable extra amount in rent or pay a refundable pet deposit. Tip: if a landlord advertises no pets or has size or breed restrictions, some will make exceptions, especially when they are pet lovers themselves. It's worth a friendly ask over the phone or in person. When signing a lease that says no pets allowed should never be signed, even if other pets are seen on the property or if a realtor, manager, or landlord says it's okay. The only words that matter are the ones written in the lease. If the lease contains no pets language, be sure it is at least crossed out, if not replaced, with language approving your pets. And both you and your landlord should initial the changes. Pet deposits or monthly fees, if any, should be specified in writing in the lease. Prior to signing, a pet deposit or monthly pet fee can be discussed with landlord and negotiated. Keep a signed copy of the lease stored safely where it can be easily retrieved if needed. Tips for keeping your pet healthy and your landlord happy. Remember that as a pet-owning renter, it's your responsibility to ensure that your pet is also a welcome addition to your apartment community. If you allow your pet to violate property rules, damage property, or make others uncomfortable, not only could you find yourself searching for a new apartment, you could actually ruin prospects for other pet owners interested in moving in. Use these tips to ensure that your pet stays happy and healthy and that your landlord is pleased to have you and your pet as residents. In addition to the species-specific tips below, there are other tips on the website for all pet owners on affording spay and neuter, and you can find that on their website as well. What to do when your landlord says your pet must leave. As long as you follow your rental property's rules and take care to ensure your pet doesn't cause damage or become a nuisance to others, there should be no conflict between you and your landlord. But even the best pet owners sometimes encounter challenges that are beyond their control. If you have done all you can to be a great pet-owning renter but are still facing a threat of eviction from your landlord, it's important to know that you do have legal protections available that can help keep your family intact. Review your lease. Typically, if a lease does not mention pets at all, then you are allowed to have pets. Some communities and public housing authorities have laws and rules banning certain types of animals or breeds of dogs. Be sure to check if any local laws or rules are in effect, as these outweigh your lease. Contracts, like leases, cannot be changed without both sides agreeing unless there is already language in the document that allows the change. Your landlord cannot go into your apartment and remove a pet or show up and force you or your pet out. Landlords have to follow the law and go through the legal process to remove tenants or their pets. Generally, the landlord cannot even enter the home without giving the tenant notice, except in an emergency, unless the lease specifies otherwise. Even if your lease does not allow pets, you may have a legal right to keep your pet. Your right to keep your pet may depend on local housing laws, the type of housing you live in, as well as the type of lease you have. This is why it is so important to find legal resources to assist you. Also, if your pet meets the legal qualifications of an assistance animal, you may have a legal right to keep your pet. While not technically tenants, unit owners in co-ops and condominiums may also face pet-related housing issues. Co-op and condo boards have strictly defined rules they must follow to make any changes in pet policies or to remove unit owners. If your building's pet policies have suddenly become restrictive or if you've received notices to remove a pet, it's important to seek legal assistance to determine your rights. If you are being faced with eviction or loss of your pet, seek help before you do anything drastic. There may be legal resources in your community to help you find answers to questions about your lease, about notices you have received from your landlord. These include nonprofit agencies whose services may be low cost or even free. You may be able to keep your housing and your pet, so do not panic. Tips for navigating common scenarios that cause landlords to consider evicting you and your pet are: your landlord says there are complaints that your pet is being a nuisance. Your landlord says the lease says no pets and your pet has to be removed. Have an attorney or a tenant's rights advocacy agency review the lease if this isn't clear. If you or anyone in your household suffers from a physical and or emotional disability, you may have a right to keep your pet as an assistance animal. Your landlord says that your pet must leave if you don't start paying a fee each month. Or a new landlord takes over the property and says he will no longer allow pets. Typically, a landlord cannot suddenly change the terms of a lease and charge additional fees. Check with your local legal resources to get more information about tenant rights. Finding legal resources in your community. Many states and cities have organizations that provide information and, in some cases, free legal assistance to people with a housing concern. The easiest way to identify these organizations is to use the internet to search for legal services, legal aid, or free legal services in your state or city. You can also check this article online for additional links to resources. In addition, the National Fair Housing Advocate online has a good list of legal services, tenant advocacy organizations, and housing rights enforcement agencies throughout the county, throughout the country. The Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights has a good list of legal services, tenant advocacy organizations, and housing rights enforcement agencies throughout the country. Your local housing court may have a help center for tenants who have questions about the laws and the legal process. Your local or state bar association may have a resource center or referral service for people involved in housing disputes. Contact them for a referral. In addition, this article contains links to additional behavioral tips to help make sure your cat or dog is a good furry tenant and remains on good terms in your rental situation. You can access all of the links in this article by visiting the Humane Society's website at humanesociety.org. Regarding guide dogs in housing, the Seeing Eye notes this on their website at seeingeye.org. In part, people who work with guide dogs are protected by the Fair Housing Act, FHA, a federal law that makes it illegal to discriminate against people with disabilities in housing. Under the FHA, a person with a disability has the right to request a reasonable accommodation. A person who uses a guide dog can request that a housing provider make an exception to a no pets policy as a reasonable accommodation. This also means that the housing provider cannot apply restrictions on breed, size, weight, or the number of animals per household to the guide dog. You can find more about the Fair Housing Act at www.hud.gov/topics/housing-discrimination. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. People foods pets should never eat. This list from the ASPCA Poison Control Center isn't exhaustive, but it's a great place to start. The first is chocolate and caffeine. These products all contain methyl xanthines, which are found in cacao seeds. When ingested by pets, methyl xanthines can cause vomiting and diarrhea, panting, excessive thirst and urination, hyperactivity, abnormal heart rhythm, tremors, seizures, and even death. Alcohol. Alcoholic beverages and food products containing alcohol can cause vomiting, diarrhea, decreased coordination, central nervous system depression, difficulty breathing, tremors, abnormal blood acidity, coma, and even death. Avocado. The leaves, fruit, seeds, and bark of avocados contain persin, which can cause vomiting and diarrhea in dogs. Birds and rodents are especially sensitive to avocado poisoning and can develop congestion, difficulty breathing, and fluid accumulation around the heart. Some ingestions may even be fatal. Macadamia nuts. Macadamia nuts have caused weakness, depression, vomiting, tremors, and hyperthermia in dogs. Signs usually appear within 12 hours of ingestion and last approximately 12 to 48 hours. Grapes and raisins, nature's candy, for humans only. Although the toxic substance within grapes and raisins is unknown, these fruits can cause kidney failure. In pets who already have certain health problems, signs may be more dramatic. Yeast dough. yeast dough can rise and cause gas in an animal's digestive system. This can be painful and can even cause the stomach or intestines to rupture. Because risk diminishes after the dough is cooked and the yeast has fully risen, pets can have small bits of bread as treats. However, these treats should not constitute more than 5% to 10% of daily caloric intake. Raw undercooked meat, eggs, and bones. Raw meat and raw eggs can contain bacteria such as Salmonella and E. coli. In addition, raw eggs contain an enzyme called avidin that decreases the absorption of biotin, a B vitamin, which can lead to skin and coat problems. Xylitol. Xylitol is used as a sweetener in many products, including gum, candy, baked goods, and toothpaste. It can cause insulin release in most species, which can lead to liver failure. The increase in insulin leads to hypoglycemia. Initial signs of toxicosis include vomiting, lethargy, and loss of coordination. Signs can progress to recumbency and seizures. Elevated liver enzymes and liver failure can be seen within a few days. Onions, garlic, and chives. These pungent items can cause gastrointestinal irritation and lead to red blood cell damage. Although cats are more susceptible, dogs are also at risk if a large enough amount is consumed. Toxicity is normally diagnosed through history, clinical signs, and microscopic confirmation of Heinz bodies. An occasional low dose, such as what might be found in pet foods or treats, likely will not cause a problem, but pets should not be given large quantities of these foods. Milk. Because pets do not possess significant amounts of lactase, the enzyme that breaks down lactose in milk, milk and other milk-based products cause them diarrhea and other digestive upset. And salt. Large amounts of salt can produce excessive thirst and urination, or even sodium ion poisoning in pets. Too much salt can cause vomiting, diarrhea, depression, tremors, elevated body temperature, seizures, and even death. And that is our list of don't eat that for this episode. Next, how to tell when a dog is sick. This is from Pet Tales, Summer 2018 edition by Melissa Erickson. Dogs get sick, just as humans do, but they can't use words to share what's bothering them. How can you tell if your dog is sick? This is a great topic to educate people on. The art of veterinary medicine is that you kind of have to be a detective, said Dr. Chris Lee, assistant clinical professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine at Auburn University. While a dog can't describe its symptoms, pet owners can be on the lookout for certain signals, said Dr. Michael Schauer, adjunct professor of emergency and critical care, University of Florida, College of Veterinary Medicine. Dogs are creatures of habit. If they break away from their established patterns, that could signal an illness. If you get a sense that something is off, if your dog is not acting right, listen to your gut and check it out, said Dr. Bryce Kibble, clinical assistant professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine at Iowa State University. The main things to take notice of are your pet's appetite, attitude, and behaviors, Lee said. Change of pattern. If your dog is lethargic, not eating, or not its bouncy self, something might be wrong. For example, if your dog always runs to greet you with a wagging tail when you return home and then suddenly doesn't, that's a sign of possible illness, Schauer said. It's like living with another human. You probably will have a sense that something is off. Any dog can skip a meal for a number of reasons, from just not feeling hungry to an overly busy day. But it's not going to go 24 hours without eating unless there's an underlying reason, Kibble said. Unexplained, especially quick weight loss is cause for concern and a trip to the vet. Any deviation from normal behavior that doesn't right itself within a day or so may warrant a vet visit. A cough could be the start of a cold, but it could be a more major development, like an early sign of heart disease, Lee said. Water issues. Dramatic changes in water consumption, drinking more or less than usual, is a red flag, Kibble said. It could signal a variety of illnesses, from diabetes to kidney disease or other infections. One of the best things pet owners can do is get a handle on just how much their pets eat and drink, which can be difficult to gauge. Also, water needs fluctuate depending on weather and what your pet is doing, Kibble said. Inappropriate urination by a dog who has long been housebroken can be a sign of diabetes. Looking sick. If your dog is slow to rise, reluctant to move, or its posture is not normal, it may be fighting something. For example, a dog with a slipped disc in its back may feel pain and prefer not to move, Schauer said. Rapid breathing and diarrhea are telltale signs of illness. Mental health. Some dogs suffer from psychological problems when family members leave, such as for college, and in death or by divorce. A separation can put many pets off their routine. They may want to be with the person who's gone, Schauer said. Just like a family member who is grieving a loss, a sad pet deserves some extra attention, maybe a special treat, and some moral support. The best advice is to find a veterinarian and an animal hospital that you can trust and utilize an annual exam, Kibble said. Notice, he didn't say go in for shots. A complete medical exam is when a vet looks at a dog's eyes, ears, teeth, and throat, feels joints, listens to the heart, and discusses lifestyle, dental health, nutrition, and vaccinations. From the summer 2018 edition of Pet Tales, we have Lyme disease. Vaccinate your pet. Protect them from Lyme disease. What you need to know. 90% of infected dogs do not display clinical signs of Lyme disease. 90%. Since 2012, there has been a 67% increase in the number of dogs testing positive for Lyme disease in Monroe County. Lyme disease can lead to Lyme nephritis or kidney damage, which can ultimately lead to death. Lyme disease can result in lameness and chronic arthritis. Tick prevention is relevant year-round, but especially in the fall and spring. It takes 24 hours for a tick to transmit Lyme disease to a host. And ticks are most commonly found in forests, areas with tall grass or bushes, and wildlife areas, including urban parks. Although commonly found in these areas, they can be pretty much anywhere. Symptoms are lameness or limping, fever, lethargy, loss of appetite, and symptoms may not present for 6 months or at all. What you can do to protect your pet. For tick prevention, use an oral, topical, or collar method in conjunction with the vaccine for maximum protection. Vaccinate. Vets now offer a Lyme disease vaccination. The initial vaccine is administered in two parts and followed by an annual booster. And speak with your veterinarian about your specific environment and treat and create a prevention plan that works best for you and your family. Next, also from summer 2018 edition of Pet Tales, summer safety tips. Provided by Monroe Veterinary Associates. Finally, those long, hot, sunny days are upon us. The weather offers a great opportunity to spend more quality time with your furry family members. Keep your dog safe by learning about the potential hazards your canine companion may encounter this summer. First is heat stroke. Any pet can suffer from heat stroke. However, particularly susceptible are very young and older pets, pets with a previous history of heat stress, short-nosed breeds, overweight pets, pets with cardiovascular or respiratory disorders. Here's how to help prevent heat stroke. Provide plenty of clean, fresh water for your pet at all times. Provide adequate ventilation and circulation when pets are kept in kennels or pens. Provide shade cover when pets are outdoors. Avoid excessive exercise during hot weather. And never leave pets in parked vehicles. Some signs of heat stroke are profuse panting and salivation, staring or anxious expression, failure to respond to commands, warm, dry skin, high fever, rapid heartbeat, fatigue, muscular weakness, or collapse. If your pet has heat stroke, try to reduce his temperature by immersing your pet in cool water or spraying with cool water. Then take your pet to the veterinary immediately. Heartworm disease. The mosquito-transmitted disease can be fatal to your dog. Have your dog tested annually for heartworms by your veterinarian. Ask your veterinarian about heartworm preventatives year-round. Fleas and ticks. The parasites are particularly prevalent during warmer weather. Dogs and cats infected with fleas frequently scratch or bite themselves. You may see the parasites, or you may notice flea dirt, black specks on the skin. There are many excellent products available to prevent and treat fleas. Ask your veterinarian for a safe and effective flea and tick control plan to follow. Remember, if your pet becomes infested with fleas, you must treat both pet and your pet's environment. Some ticks can transmit diseases such as Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Any tick found on your pet should be removed promptly and completely. Using a tissue or tweezers placed next to the skin, gently pull the tick from the pet's skin, making sure to remove the head and mouth parts. Have your veterinarian show you the correct way to remove ticks. Bites and stings. Unusual swelling or soreness may be signs of a bite or sting. Contact your veterinarian immediately. How about this? Skunks. If your pet has an encounter, flush his eyes with fresh water. Bathe him thoroughly with soap and water. Apply tomato juice liberally and then bathe your pet again with soap and water. And hazardous plants, of course. So get out there this summer with your favorite canine companion. Enjoy all the wonderful activities that nature has in store. Just remember, your dog depends on you to keep him happy, healthy, and safe. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.